Welcome to Bible study at New Mercy Baptist Church. This is where you can dig into God's word to get understanding and application. As Pastor Grady always asks, what's the best thing in the world? Understanding. Bible study is a time for understanding how to apply what you've learned to your everyday life. On that note, if you have questions about tonight's teaching or questions about your own personal Bible study time, we encourage you to go to newmercybaptist.org, click on the Contact Us link, and share your questions there. We will respond to as many questions as possible at the next Bible study session. We want you to grow in your foundation with God. In these times, it is important that you are rooted in your faith and not tossed about by life's circumstances. We encourage you to get in God's word, tune in, listen closely, take notes, and enjoy tonight's teaching.
Good evening. Welcome to another Bible study as we spend time in the Lord's word. And we are in the book of Mark, the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 15. And last week we ended with verse 24. But before we get started, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do bless your name today, and we are just so thankful for another opportunity to come into your presence, and we do so with thanksgiving and joy in our hearts. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this Bible study as we spend time in God's word. We are trusting you to lead us into all truth and take this word and write it upon our hearts that we can become better doers of the word, for that's our heart's desire. So we give ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, one correction I want to make from last week. Last week I said that Barabbas, the name Barabbas, implies that he was the son of a prophet, but I was in error. I meant to say he was the son, chances are Barabbas' father was a rabbi, not a prophet, but I just wanted to make that correction before we get started today. And you remember last week we also saw where Jesus was had to bear his own cross, taking it to Golgotha, and he got to the got outside of the city where he just fell under the exhaustion of carrying the cross after being brutalized and beaten all night long. And we talked about Simon the Cyrenian was a black man that carried the cross for Jesus to Golgotha's hill. And we're actually picking up on that today. And we want to pick up today with verse 25. Well, actually, let's go back to verse 22. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of the skull. And they gave him a drink. They gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. Because you remember, if you remember back at the when the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper, he said, from henceforth, I won't drink of this cup again after he's been resurrected in heaven. So I want to make note that he wouldn't take the wine that was actually, it was a wine that had sedative ingredients to help whomever was being crucified to bear the pain that they would be under. But Jesus did not drink of it, because in order for us to be redeemed, he had to go through the full measure of God's judgment. He had to feel the pain that he had to bear on our behalf. And so that he could do that and get outside of his flesh and was willing to go through the torture that he had to go through in order for us to be redeemed, he would not even take any sedative that would have lessened the pain in any degree. He was willing to go through everything that God required for our redemption. And when they had crucified him, verse 24, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, what every man should take. And it was the third hour. The third hour was 9 a.m. in the morning when he was actually put on that cross. 9 a.m. That morning, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over the King of the Jews. Actually, Pilate did this in order to give insult to the high priest and the scribes and Pharisees who were crucifying him, knowing that they were doing it wrongly out of revenge. They didn't want, in other words, they were crucifying him because of their disdain for how he was able to do and to serve the people like they were not able to. They recognized that this man Jesus that they were crucifying was able to heal the sick. They couldn't do it. He was able to feed the hungry. They weren't able to do it. He was able to raise the dead, and they were not able to. And because of envy, they crucified Jesus, not because of his crime, because he committed no crime. In fact, Pilate even said, why are you crucifying him? If you remember last week, we talked about Barabbas. A matter of fact, that was an insurrectionist who had murdered someone in the process of insurrection and had been found guilty. And Pilate, according to his custom, could release one person. And he just knew that the people would shout for Jesus to be released. But how the high priest and the Pharisees and the scribes got the crowd riled up to ask for Jesus' crucifixion. And you remember, he was accused of blasphemy. But when they got to Pilate, they said that he had committed treason, talking about he's the king. And they said, only Caesar, we only recognize Caesar as our king. Amen. Because they put Pilate in a position where he had to go forth with the execution, because if Caesar, who was the king, had found out that Pilate would not bring judgment on Jesus for claiming to be king, he would put himself in jeopardy. So he went along with it, even though he didn't want to. He was looking at various excuses how he could get Jesus released. But the bottom line is he went along with what the crowd wanted. Amen. And let me stop right there, because those of us who God has placed in various authority, we must allow God. We must allow the written word to dictate our actions, not the opinions of the crowd. Come on, somebody. Because the crowd can be fickle. We talked about this last week. The same crowd that was talking about Hosanna a week before is now crying, crucify him. And because the crowd was shouting out for him to be crucified, he went along with it. But in order to take a jab at the high priest and the scribes, Pilate did was had an inscription put over his head, the King of the Jews. And with him, they crucified two thieves, the one on the right hand and the other on the left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with their transgressions. Oh, that's another reason why we can put our confidence in the truth of God's word, because that was actually prophesied in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, I think around verse 12. Listen, 700 years before it actually happened, God had prophesied that it would happen. And we talked about this before. Whatever God says is going to come to pass. But this is another reason why we can put our confidence in the truth of God's word, because Jesus, the Christ, fulfilled the prophecies that had been written years before his coming. Not only come to pass, but they came to pass exactly as God had said they would come to pass. And there are a few prophecies that have not come to pass yet, but those prophecies also will be fulfilled when Jesus comes back. Come on. Oh, you need to know Jesus is coming back. You need to hear me. And what encourages me, motivates me to do better is because he said he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. Amen. And I looked in the mirror before I got here this morning, before I got my day started today, and I saw some spots and wrinkles. Amen. He's not talking about physical spots and wrinkles, but he's talking about those areas in our lives that are still not in line with the truth of God's word. Those hidden sins in our lives. He's going to deal with those. Amen. That's why I thank God. There are very few days that go by that I don't end up having to repent for something. Amen. I thank God I don't have to repent today from some of the stuff I used to do. Come on, somebody. But he says he's going to judge every, not just the words that I say, but the thoughts that I have. Oh, come on. I don't know about you, but that scares me. Amen. I thank God that I don't do a lot of stuff no more, but I sure think about it sometimes. But I thank God for his spirit to lead me into all truth. And when, listen to me, and when God brings a conviction into my life, I look at that conviction, I repent of it, come on, I acknowledge the truth of that conviction and begin to order my steps as God gives me power in line with the truth. In order for us to be everything God has called for us to be, we have to live a lifestyle of repentance. And I thank God today for repentance, because in order for me to repent means I acknowledge my wrong. I've quit trying to justify what I did. Come on, somebody. But I acknowledge it and make a decision to turn away from it and walk in obedience to God's word. Amen. That must have been for somebody, because that wasn't anything I intended to deal with this lesson. But I was talking about how the crowd can lead us astray if we are not careful. Verse 27. And with him they crucified two thieves, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him and wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. If you study the other accounts in the other gospels about this incident, you would discover that both thieves were talking about Jesus to save them at first, but one of them acknowledged this man hadn't done anything wrong, and we are being crucified for what we did, but he didn't do anything. And he turned to Jesus and said, would you remember me in your kingdom? And Jesus told him, even while they were on the cross, that today he would be with Jesus in paradise. Oh, that's why you need to understand somebody that is never too late, as long as you got breath in your body, it's never too late to come into a saving relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But in order to do that, you have to do as that thief did. Recognize what you've done. Recognize who he is. Turn away from yourself and turn to him for eternal salvation. Amen. But they began to rag him and mock him and pick at him. The soldiers, even the two thieves on the cross, but one came to a conviction and turned away and turned to God for eternal salvation. And one of the things that they were saying, particularly the scribes, that talking about he's going to destroy the temple in 3 days and destroy the temple and then rebuild it in 3 days, knowing that it took over 40 years to build the temple, and they were mocking him. How would he be able to do it? Listen to me. But Jesus was speaking hyperbolically. But listen, had he chosen to do it, he could have done it. But that's what he's talking about. He could have done it because he created the whole universe in 7. Come on. So a little temple, he could do that with the blink of an eye if that's what he chose to do. But he was talking about how he would build himself up. He would be raised from the dead in 3 days in position for us to be redeemed back to the Father. Amen. Verse 31. Likewise also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Oh, listen, you need to understand, Jesus didn't have to do it. The only reason he did it was out of love. Out of love for the Father and love for us. That's the only reason why he went to the cross. You remember, he asked the Father, Father, if you can find any other way that these knuckleheads can be redeemed back to you, I'm asking you to find it. But not my will. Let your will be done. Because he understood that was his purpose. He was born to die for our sins. Not for his own, but for our sins, because sin has to be paid for. Come on. Sin cannot stand in the presence of a holy God. And we say this every Sunday and most Tuesdays. And there are only two ways to pay for sin. Either you pay for it yourself, the sin that you committed, or you accept God's provision where he allowed Jesus Christ to pay your sin debt. And if you receive it, the Bible calls it, he's your propitiation. He's your mercy seat. He took your sins upon himself. And not only that, but he turned around and gave you his righteousness. Oh, what an awesome God we serve. Amen. Likewise, verse 30. Likewise also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. They that were crucified with him reviled him. We talked about that earlier. But listen, it says in verse 32, let Christ, the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross. And he could have. In fact, he told them, I can call a legion of angels to deal with y'all. Amen. But because of my obedience to the Father and my love for him and you, he went through everything that he had to go through in order for us to be redeemed back to the Father. Verse 33. And when the sixth hour had come, this is 12 o'clock now, and when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. In other words, from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock, there was total darkness. Oh, come on. I said there was total darkness from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock. God the Father, because the judgment of my sin and your sin had been placed on Jesus, there was total darkness for that three-hour period. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Listen, this is the only time in the creation of the universe where Jesus was not in fellowship with the Father. And he was not in fellowship with the Father because, as I said earlier, sin can't stand in the presence of a holy God. And God the Father, because Jesus Christ had borne the sins of the world, had to turn his back on Jesus. That hurt Jesus more than any pain that he bore on that cross. That the Father had to turn his back on him. Because on him was our sin. Not his own, but because he bore our sin, sin couldn't be in the presence of God. And as a result, Jesus cried out, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani." That is, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He was forsaken because of our sin. And some of them, verse 35, and some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, "Behold, he calleth Elijah." They didn't understand that Elijah had already been. You remember on the Mount of Transfiguration where Elias and as well as Moses were on the Mount of Transfiguration, of which was also prophesied before the coming of the Christ, that Elijah would come. Amen. And John the Baptist walked in the spirit of Elijah, that he had already been. Verse 36, "And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, let us see whether Elijah would come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost." If you recall, all during the time of Jesus being condemned by the high priest, as well as Pilate, all the rigged trials that he went through, he never said a mumbling word. Come on. But now, at the end of his life, it says, he cried out with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. Listen, nobody took his life. He gave up his life. Come on. Could nobody take his life because of who he is? But because of obedience to the Father, he was willing to give up his life for our redemption. Listen, verse 38. "And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom." prior to this, if you recall, for particularly those of you who are students of God's word, that nobody could go behind that veil. Only the high priest could ever go behind the veil. It's called the holiest of holies. That's where the Spirit of God resided. And nobody could go back there but once a year, the high priest. And he had to go through a ceremonial cleansing to cover his own sin in order to go back there once a year. And for those of you who are familiar with our teaching, that they would tie a veil around his ankle, one of his ankles, so and a rope. Come on. So if the high priest missed a step in his ceremonial cleansing, which was a ceremony done to cover the sin, it couldn't be done away with, but it was to cover the sin. If he missed any part of that ceremony, that ceremonial cleansing, and went back in the Holy of Holies, he would drop dead. And wasn't nobody going to go back there to get him. So if they heard the bell stop ringing, they could pull the rope and pull him from back there between the Holy of Holies, because only the high priest could go back into that area once a year. But now, because of what Jesus has done, God the Father tore open the curtain, listen, from the top to the bottom, and opened the curtain. So now we don't need a high priest to go before God for ourselves. We can go before the throne of God for ourselves today because of what Jesus Christ did for us when he bore our sins on that cross. Amen. The curtain now has been torn open. We are free to go into God's presence ourselves, and we are told to do it with thanksgiving and joy in our hearts. Do it with expectation. Amen. That God can hear us. We don't need anybody a high priest, to talk to God for us. We can talk to God for ourselves. But I thank God that we have a heavenly high priest, Jesus himself, who seated at the right hand of the Father, can make intercessions for us. When we go to God with selfish motives and desires, he can change that thing on our behalf to pray for us like we should have been praying for ourselves. Amen. That's why you can now go to God for yourself. I thank God for he tells us, any among you have a fault, share it with your brother so you can both pray, and so that the prayers of the righteous can make you whole. But listen, you don't have to go to anybody else to intercede for you. You can go for yourself. But I thank God we still have those we can stand in agreement with, amen, for our prayers as well. But I want you to understand, you can now go to God for yourself. In spite of yourself, there's nothing you can do that God won't hear you when you come with a repentant heart in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, please hear me. When we say in the name of Jesus, that's not just a magic formula for you to use at the end of your prayers for your prayers to be heard. When he's talking about that, when you say in the name of Jesus, you're really saying you in the character and the purpose for which Jesus has called you are going before God the Father. And whatever we bring, petition, supplications we bring in line with his will for our lives, he'll hear us. And if we know he hears us, whatever we ask, he grants our petition, because whatever we ask is in line in the character of Jesus Christ when we bring it before him. That's a whole nother teaching. Amen. But verse 39. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. This centurion had seen many people being crucified. This wasn't the first crucifixion. Amen. And this centurion had seen many people being crucified, but he'd seen no one under crucifixion respond like Jesus did. And he said, truly, this is the Son of God. Because I think it's in the Gospel of Matthew, before he gave up the ghost, he did what was a part of his character. He asked God to forgive him, for they didn't know what they were doing. Forgiveness is a part of God's character. That's why you don't have to be afraid to go before God with whatever you've done in your past. Amen. He's a loving God. And he loves you too much to stay there, to allow you to stay there. But when we confess our sins to him, the Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. But we must be willing to take our sins, to take our where we missed the mark. That's what sin means, to miss the mark. We must take it to him in earnest. Amen. And when we do that, he's willing to forgive us. Let's go on. Verse 40. There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene. You all remember her, who Jesus cast seven devils out of her, and Mary, the mother of James, the less of Joseph, and Salome. Salome is believed to be the wife of Cleopas, but also is a lot of scholars believe that she was actually Mary, Jesus's mother, believes that Salome was the sister of Jesus's mother, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. Right here shows the importance that women have played in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ and play today. The importance that they have. When his disciples, when this occurred, none of the disciples were there. They all scattered. Come on. But it was the women who went with Jesus to the end. And I know it's going to hurt somebody's feelings, but that's okay. Amen. A lot of folk believe women can't preach or teach God's word. I believe, and based on my understanding of scripture, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Listen, Mary carried the word for 9 months. And you telling me that a woman, listen, God spoke through a donkey. If he can speak through a donkey, he can speak through anybody he wants to. And who am I to tell who can't proclaim God's word? I thank God for the powerful women that are on our ministerial staff. We couldn't do the work that God has for us to do without them. And I thank God for them. Listen, but because of time, I think we'll stop right here today. Amen. And God's will, we'll finish chapter 15 next week and go right into chapter 16. But before we close, I don't want to fail to give anyone an opportunity to come into a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me. I pray that through the teaching today and how you followed us up until this point, you have come to understand the importance of having a redeemer. Because without a redeemer, you would have to pay for your own sin. And we just talked about it. That's why God the Father turned his back on Jesus, because he had borne our sin. Sin can't stand in the presence of a holy God. And if you've come to recognize you need a Savior, you need a redeemer, and are ready to accept God's provision for you because of his love for you, all you have to do is repeat after me. Father, I come before you today recognizing that I'm a sinner and I cannot save myself. But I thank you that you love me so much, you allowed your son Jesus to pay my sin debt. Today, I make a will decision to receive your provision. Jesus, come into my life. Fill me with your spirit. And I commit the rest of my life to you. In Jesus' name, I thank you for my salvation. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome to the kingdom of God. Please drop a note to us. Put in the chat how we can reach out to you so we can put some resources in your hand for you to continue your journey, your spiritual journey. And if you live in this area, we welcome you to connect with this church. If not, we'll help you find a church in your area that will help you in your spiritual maturity. Well, thank you for being with us again this week. Until next week, God bless you and God keep you is our prayer.
Thank you for tuning in to tonight's Bible study. If you accepted Christ tonight, welcome to the kingdom of God. We are rejoicing with heaven over your decision. Remember, if you have a question about tonight's teaching or your own personal Bible study time, we would love to answer them and help you on your spiritual journey. Be sure to visit newmercybaptist.org or follow us on Facebook or subscribe to our YouTube channel to stay connected. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Until next time, be blessed.